This is the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. And I want to say it's from 2002, but I don't remember. But in the movie it says 1999 AD. Which is good to know.
Well, it starts there, right? It's like, because it's always weird when a movie starts with a flashback and they feel they need to tell you. There was something I just saw that at the start of the movie, it said 6 years ago. And I was like, why? Why'd you do that? Why not just show this part and then give us six years later? It's just so weird.
I tried watching The Get Down on Netflix, which I couldn't get into. But it starts off and it says something like 1996. And there's a band performing on stage. And then like, this is like right at the start. It says 1996. And then 30 seconds later, it says 1977. And I'm like, why did we just go to 1996? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I don't get it. But this takes place after the birth of Christ in 1999, which I think is really funny that they put AD on it just so no one got confused.
Oh, so when I was looking up something about this movie and I stopped on just looking up Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And did you know, it's like, I didn't realize that his name is the portmanteau of two words. One is Gorira, which is gorilla, and Kujira, which is whale. So he's technically a gorilla whale.
Oh. Is he either of those things?
He's both those things.
Okay. With no attributes from either. Well, I guess gorillas don't have tails, right? Whales have tails.
No, they don't.
Whales have tails, but not like that.
They missed, yeah, it's like, I don't know, they missed the alligator or crocodile part. what I do love is that Godzilla shows up right away in this movie. It's like they're talking about Typhoon 13, and they're like, Typhoon 13, which I was like, oh, do they name their do they number them instead of like giving them like, you know, names? I don't know. But and then Godzilla just shows up, and it also introduces the anti-Megalosaurus force.
Which I love.
Yeah, I do too.
This movie, okay, after last time when I'm like, hey, we should watch this movie, or you wanted to watch a new one and we picked this, like I started remembering how much I love this movie. There's so much crazy stuff in it. But the best thing is the construction of Mechagodzilla by using the bones of the original Godzilla.
Yes. Yes. Oh, just first of all, the footage of like, you know, they're like, it's the whole idea that this is not the same Godzilla. Mm-hmm. This is another Godzilla monster. And they refer to them like, oh, this is like, wait a minute. Is that the skeleton from Godzilla 1954?
Yeah.
You know, like the way fans talk about the different Godzillas, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is Godzilla 1954. Oh, this is Godzilla 1965. You know, it's that notion. Like they recognize him. Just wait a minute. I know these bones. That's 1954.
But what's great is they show footage from the 1954 Godzilla, but then they also show this other footage of this monster called Gaira, which I haven't seen that movie before. I'm not sure which one it's from, but I want to see it. It looks like a giant grin.
Bigfoot Gaira. Isn't he from...
Frankenstein? Is he from Frankenstein? Conquerors?
No. Yeah, War of the Gargantuans.
That's what it is. I've never seen that. Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, but that's definitely... yeah, and Mothra in the clips too. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a little fadey on the ending of the 1954 Godzilla. Did they add, because like they had black and white footage, but then, you know, it turns into the skeleton.
Uh-huh.
It looked like they kind of cheated it.
Yeah, they with did. I think
new effects, right?
In if I remember,
so it
right.
would match. So it would match when they actually reveal the skeleton later.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of old footage and new footage. Because I think the skeleton on the bottom of the ocean is definitely new.
Definitely new. Right,
yeah,
right.
But I think there's something like that in the original. I think when the oxygen bomb.
Yeah, when he's like in the water and it's like a bunch of Alka-Seltzers around him.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like a skeleton, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not as like
nice. When it's laying on the ocean floor, I think that's a new shot.
Yeah, there's a part when they're fighting Godzilla in this flashback, and someone says, "How come this always happens in the rain?"
I didn't notice that.
It's so great because kaiju look best when they're in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing like in Pacific Rim. The rain really makes the stuff look awesome.
Yeah.
And so I was like, it's because it looks so good. That was me saying to my television. It's because it looks so good. The same thing is right after that. Is the guy who goes, "Oh no, my house!" And
yeah.
They have to stop him from running to try to save his house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to do? It's Godzilla.
Yeah,
his foot just crushes the house in one step.
The thing with the rain, though, maybe story wise, it could be just because Godzilla's amphibious. Maybe he needs the water. Isn't that like what frogs do? Don't they need to be their skin to be moisturized or something?
Godzilla. Okay, but come on, this is from this movie's from when again? I mean, Godzilla's been in outer space.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, that is not, he's not doing it for his skin.
There's a little girl. The little girl, yes. In this movie with her plant.
Yes. Did you start? I started like trying to feel like, what's up with this plant? Like, I keep like trying to like find extra meaning into this plant. Like, is her mom's DNA in the plant?
Was the plant going to turn into a plant monster? That's what I thought. But I like that.
Oh, that's cool.
When they're,
but
when
every
they're...
time you touch it, it shrinks away.
Yeah.
It's like, he's real hard to defeat.
Just poke him with your finger. But the girl, they bring back the Godzilla bones, but the little girl says, "Why Godzilla? Why not my mom?"
Yeah, I know. She says something that it's just like, I mean, they're laughable, and the only thing that Akane's overly dramatic stuff was, I think, even worse. But the other one, or where she says like, "Why does he have to fight it? He just wants to be friends." Why are we making it fight Godzilla when he just wants to make friends?
She clearly didn't see that guy's house get stepped on.
But it's like they're like, in a way, it's almost like using Mechagodzilla for your whims. It's really hard to like kind of sit and grasp a robot made from DNA.
It's harder to grasp that the bones can hear a Godzilla sound and have that trigger a response.
Right.
Because the bones don't have ears.
That is, I know, but that is the setback of when you make robots out of DNA.
Yes.
It's like, this is one of the things you gotta always pay attention to.
That
primordial scream can affect the robot.
I love it. The little eye turns to red. The eyes turn to red, and then it says,
yeah.
The display screen says out of control.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Also, I love, like, it's like, it's when, now, first of all, I didn't quite understand that she was controlling Mechagodzilla from inside the plane until she had to actually crawl into him. I go, oh, you mean she hasn't been in him this whole time? So when she's in the plane, and by the way, when they're carrying Mechagodzilla, uh-huh. And one plane's job is just to carry the tail,
uh-huh.
Pretty great.
It's like at a wedding, the train on a wedding dress.
Yeah. I'll get the head. Yeah, exactly. I'll just take the tail so he doesn't bump into buildings.
They couldn't have left out the tail.
And then when she's trying to control it, the struggle to move the controls from the plane And then it gets even harder when she's inside the guy.
Yeah.
She's like, ah, so much effort, so much work. Yeah, we're all over. We're jumping all over this place on this movie. The one thing I love is about this is it's definitely, I agree that the best way to fight Godzilla is to make your own robot Godzilla. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, as a, instead of like, you know, just as a strategy, that is always my favorite strategy.
Uh-huh.
You know, monster to monster fighting. It's like when it's just, when you're just shooting at it with planes, it's like, okay, but it's getting the other thing. Mm-hmm. I love that the robot roars.
Yes. And then that they built a mouth.
Yeah. With teeth. Yeah.
I noticed that too. When it roared, I'm like, why does it have teeth? Or a mouth? Or a tail?
Yeah. When he first is just unleashing just all those rockets and weapons, it looked awesome. He just kind of opens his arms up and just like, and just like,
yeah,
everything just flying out of every orifice just coming at him. And that's even before we even get the masers coming out of his mouth.
The absolute zero weapon in his chest.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about masers for a second because, okay, they get mentioned at the beginning. And at first I go, did I mishear that? And then when he shoots him with the masers that are in his mouth, I was like, oh, it'd be great if masers stood for mouth lasers. But then it ended up backing up the movie and being like, all right, hold on, let's just take a look at this. And when they first introduced the anti-megalosaurus force and being like, okay, so it is masers. So then I looked up masers.
Uh-huh.
So masers really is a thing, by the way.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah, it's an acronym for
mouth lasers.
Microwave amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. Huh. So essentially, it's like a precursor to the laser. It's the same kind of basic premise that it concentrates radiation and shoots it, but like a laser uses a higher frequency, which is light, and the maser is more like electromagnetic waves.
Wow.
It's a real thing, and because also. In fact, oh, hold on. There's something else I'm going to know. That the laser was actually originally called an optical maser.
Oh.
This is like the 50s, basically, when masers was happening. And when the prime minister, which, by the way, when did she stop being prime minister?
I don't know.
Like, it's like she's prime minister at the beginning, and then later the other guy is the prime minister. Did you notice that?
I didn't even catch that.
Well, she's like the prime minister. Like, there's the woman who's the prime minister, and she's talking about the whole problem, and she's like, man, it's just like when Godzilla attacked us back then, and they had all those clips.
Yeah,
and she talks about using the maser cannon against the Bigfoot guy.
Was she was talking to the later prime minister, right?
Yeah.
Did they call her prime minister?
Are you saying she was calling him prime minister?
Yeah.
I thought at the beginning of the movie she was prime minister, and at the end of the movie he's prime minister somehow, but we don't see like her resign or anything like that or get voted out.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Or, you know, or is it that she's prime minister in 1999 AD?
Oh. Could be.
And then he's prime minister now.
Could be. That would make sense. He's prime minister also in Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which is a direct sequel to this movie.
It is. In fact, she's in it. The Akane is in this one, in that one too.
Yeah.
The baseball player analogy when they're talking about whether the girl's father is going to go work on this new QU project.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, you could do like baseball players do, where they take their family with them. And then the government guys, they come to the door and they say, you know, like baseball players do. And it made me kind of feel like, oh, because they bugged his place already.
Oh, that could be it.
So like, oh, we're going to say this. And then, you know.
I didn't know if that was a thing, that baseball players take their families.
Yeah.
But I do know that there's a baseball player in the movie. That baseball player is Matsui. He's like hitting, home runs as Mechagodzilla flies by. And then later you see him in his apartment during the battle. But he played for the Angels for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, he played for the Yankees and then the Angels. Mechagodzilla walks through a building.
Yes, he does. He does. And the building stays intact. He's able to just kind of make the arch without destroying it. It's really great.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, like, why. I don't know why. Was it a model that didn't fall down during the shooting? So they're just like, oh, just go walk through that. What? It's so weird. It just happens.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It's like he doesn't. There's no point to it other than to see it happen.
Yeah.
It's like, no. How does it not want it? How is it not easier just to go around?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing around that building.
No.
That building is just standing on its own in an open area. There's a lot of space.
The only thing I can think of is like it's some inside joke where there's a building shaped like an arch.
And they made it look like
they made it look like Mechagodzilla.
I like how we add it. So much more to the story today. Like maybe this is what's going on.
But it doesn't make sense. But it's amazing. There's got to be an animated GIF somewhere of that. It takes no force to walk through it.
And it just crumbles around him, mm-hmm. like Kool-Aid Man style.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon, you know, like outline. Like it'd be great if I was actually was shaped like Mechagodzilla. So when they first bring Mechagodzilla to Godzilla, he just kind of waits patiently for him to be lowered and, you know, before they start anything. It's a lot of respect in that.
Yeah.
like he's like, you know, like I would have actually loved it if he saw the planes and Mechagodzilla and he just kind of went after the planes.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Kiyu had to actually like gets dropped and they have to like get him to recover and get up and check his systems before he can actually get into battle. That could have added extra drama, is what I think. Yeah.
But instead, Mechagodzilla like fires his thrusters and does like this kind of like flying skating elbow thing. Like he does like a Gumby slide.
Yeah.
And then like lays into Godzilla.
Yeah, that's the part of the fight that I had the most trouble with was there's a few jumps and a few parts where like one of them will get knocked back, but they get knocked back in a way that's just like an effect.
Yeah.
That it's almost like when Kiyu does his jump, it almost looks like they just kind of like took a picture of him and picked it up and moved it over there, animation style.
We got something in this that you missed in King Kong versus Godzilla. And that's Godzilla being swung by the tail.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was classic.
Yeah.
But I also liked that Kiyu, he shanks Godzilla. He's like, when he's up close, he gets that one blade and he stabs him and then electrocutes him with that stab.
Yeah. Like, they built this, they did a really good job building this thing with weapons. Like, the weapons on it are awesome. Like
they're all awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also kind of added this element of, like, he fights a little dirty. There's some real cheese. Oh, here's another cheesy line that I wrote down when she's inside Kiyu and she says, "You and I are going to get along just fine. Now, let's have some fun."
I liked it. I really liked that line, though.
I have like, there's sometimes I back it up to write the quotes down, and then other times I was like, I'm not going to go back to this one. Like when the little girl goes, I wrote, "You adults, blah, blah, blah." There are a few close-ups of Kiyu's kneecaps, and it's got those like kneecaps with the little bumps on them.
Yeah,
that part I was like in the design I wasn't happy. I go, you know, you could have made a less ridiculous looking kneecap,
kind of floppy. There's a part where Mechagodzilla just grabs Godzilla by the face. I guess it feels like when they were doing the fights in this one, like they didn't care about messing up the outfits, like. They're going at it pretty good.
There's so much of like I buy Godzilla toys, not even knowing which Godzilla or for what movie. I just like them because they're cool looking. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to then go and be like, oh, oh, I have this toy. I have a sofa be of this Godzilla, mm-hmm. and I have a Mega Godzilla of this that has like those big blue rockets that go over his back and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the jetpack thing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I got that one.
Do you like this design?
That one has a lot of interchangeable. Mecha?
Regular Godzilla.
I do like this one. Yeah. I like this design a lot. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, this is the Godzilla 2000 one. They used it for Mega Gearis, this one, and Tokyo SOS. It's in four movies.
Because I love the old, really cute, round-faced Godzilla. And the one that's in between. But this one's great because this is, I thought, the way it's in the Godzilla designs, it kind of feels like this is like one of the first ones where he really looks mean.
Yeah. He kind of has a sleek look to his face. But the fins on the back, I really like. They're like really jagged looking. They look really sharp.
Yeah. And I think because the head is smaller, it looks, I mean, realistic isn't the word I'm looking for, but there's just something, it feels, it has a great authenticity to it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as upright. It kind of has like a forward.
Not right, he leans upright. Forward a bit. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's kind of like reflective of when, you know, how we used to think the T-Rex stood. Mm-hmm. Like, we used to think, like, he reared up on his back and he had his arms real high, and then they started being like, oh no, because of the way his hips are, he probably leaned forward more. Mm-hmm. And they started like, being like redrawing him, so it's a little bit of a stretch, but there kind of is a Big Brother cock block in this,
yeah,
in the sense that the Big Brother is dead and the little brother is, you know, is coming to cock block Akane. And oh, by the way, it's like, to earn her keep, does a little girl have to work in that cafe?
I don't know.
And when she's like telling the guy, says no, it's too, you're being too obvious. Yeah, that's so much. So there's so much significant drama in the lines that Akane gets. Like the whole thing about the plant and like, oh yeah, I had a plant once when I was little. He was my only friend. It's so ridiculous. That stuff really made me roll my eyes.
Did you watch? There's a post-credit sequence.
No.
So there's a post-credit sequence where they're hanging out. The three of them are hanging out, and they're like, oh, it looks like I owe you a lunch. Like the dad says to her, and she's like, you know what? It was a tie, so it lunches on me. And then the little girl is there, but she doesn't have the plant, which I think is their way of saying that she's going to be the new mom. It's a weird scene. Usually the post-credit scenes in a Godzilla movie, you see Godzilla wake up or you know, something turn on that, you know, suggests a sequel. But this one was just a scene between those three, kind of an epilogue.
I gotta remember to stay through the, you know, fast forward to the post-credit.
But during the credits, in the background, there's like a flashing of like Mechagodzilla's eye or Godzilla's skin or something, and then there's like a shot,
right,
a quick shot of like the plant. It's just a shot of the plant, just
pretty, yeah, crazy. there's a lot that I was like, what's the significance of this? Why are they making such a, like, the whole thing with the hat, yeah, when she wouldn't put the hat on at the beginning and then they give her the hat, and so that jerk guy,
is it cultural?
I don't know. It's like, you know what? I'm not gonna wear this hat. I'm just gonna train harder. And then the jerk guy sacrifices himself, but he doesn't. But she, you know, she knocks him out of his mouth.
The part where Mechagodzilla grabs Godzilla and fires the thing into his chest,
yes,
was like super awesome. But then as Godzilla walks away, he's got this huge gash across his chest. It's like this gigantic grilly, yeah, stuff. And then if you look at Mechagodzilla, it's like got burnt Godzilla flesh on the front. I thought that was kind of cool. Like it had like Godzilla goo.
I like that his fused. Arm got ripped off.
Yeah.
Because it's reminiscent. I have this, another one of these vinyls, Mecha toys. I have, he's got like a drill arm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's from an older Mecha. But I was like, it kind of, when he's seeing his arm off, I was like, oh good, they could put one of those drill arms on him now. But yeah, I think that was from like the super old.
I need to revisit those older Mechagodzillas. I think Mechagodzilla, the first one, is the one with King Caesar, and I love King Caesar.
Oh, cool.
So that's the cool. one I've watched the most. Terror of Mechagodzilla, I've only seen like maybe twice. And then there's one more in the 90s, Godzilla against versus Mechagodzilla 2.
Yeah, there's some, I might know, because like there's a part when the professor is at home. First of all, he makes breakfast for his kid, and the kid's having he's making toast, eggs, and ham for himself. The kid gets like a salad for breakfast.
Well, the kid loves plants.
But next to the television are these two figurines of Don Quixote and Sancho Panza. And I made a note of it being like going, oh, maybe that's something symbolic of like the kind of guy that this professor is going to be and stuff like that. But I didn't quite pay off. So like, guess it was just random set dressing. Huh. The Absolute Zero Raid doesn't really do much to Godzilla.
No.
None of him froze.
No. But Godzilla did kick Mechagodzilla while he was about to launch the Absolute Zero. And then Mechagodzilla spun around and hit two buildings.
Right. And that those buildings became dusted.
Yeah.
But when the other time when he's trying to fire it up close because he doesn't want to miss again, I guess. All he did was kind of just he got the big scrape on the front of his chest. Mm-hmm. And then he just wanders away. So after all this thing, like, this is how we're going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, we can't kill him.
Yeah, but it was enough to where Godzilla was like, oh, that didn't feel good. I'm going to take off.
Yeah. But Colonel Takashi was always mad.
Yeah.
He had the whole one note the whole time.
Anything else? What'd you think of the movie?
I didn't love. Like all the overly significant dialogue, it was really hard for me. It just felt so forced.
Is it tougher because it's more modern?
It might be, in the sense that like you might forgive dialogue like that in an older movie. Mm-hmm. I just didn't buy it in the performance. Mm-hmm. The indicating was a little bit much for me. Mm-hmm. But I liked the fights.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty badass robot.
And it's a pretty good, like, as far as pacing goes, there's a lot of like monster stuff throughout. You don't spend too long without either seeing Godzilla or Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. Like sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes like Shin Godzilla, you're like kind of waiting for the next time for Godzilla to show up.
There was a lot of waiting. That movie had a lot of waiting in.
But in this one, I feel like they kind of sprinkled it a little more throughout.
Yeah. It's just, and also just like, just following Rodan with this one really kind of made me realize how much I love Rodan.
Yeah. All right. So that's all we have for this show. Join us next time. We're going to be watching Kong Skull Island.
On a special episode.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I'm excited to see it. It's a new movie to both of us. I don't think has happened yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be hard to take notes, so it's just going to be basically podcasted from memory.
Yeah, it'll kind of be, I think, along the lines of Shin Godzilla. Like, we did that pretty much
from memory.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, you saw it twice, but...
Yeah.
But I think seeing it on the big screen is a little bit different.
You absorb more, and you have the full focus, as opposed to sometimes...
Checking Google,
looking things up as it goes and stuff like that. So it's just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see it. I'm glad that there's more giant monster movies coming out. And
I love that it's going to be a rematch.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that happens. I always get, you know, kind of doubtful when they announce things so much sooner. But man, if they do a King Kong versus Godzilla. Maybe they'll call it Godzilla versus King Kong this time around.
Yeah, I remember when we were seeing like the little like the small preview stuff for this last Godzilla movie before Shin, the last American one. Uh-huh. And we were like going, wait a minute, does this fly? Is this going to be Rodan? We had so many things.
what was great about that marketing campaign too is they made it appear that Godzilla was the threat and Godzilla was the only one monster in the movie.
Yeah.
So when you saw it, you're like, oh, there's not only is there other guys, but Godzilla's the good guy, which I like. I like when Godzilla's the good guy.
Yeah, I do too. I like rooting for him.
I'm kind of more like 60-40. I think I'm 60-40, but because like in this movie, in Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, he was not the good guy, but I still liked him. But
I like rooting for Godzilla. It's he's the one, he's the hero in these stories. And
yeah,
unless there's another monster, when it's people against Godzilla, I like rooting for Godzilla for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But when it's King Kong versus Godzilla, we'll see. We'll see next time. Hopefully the new King Kong versus Godzilla, they've corrected some of the decisions made.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see.
Maybe we'll find a neutral space.
We'll get plenty of Skull Island on the next episode, and we'll see how the natives are treated. So until next time, you can go to kaijupod.com. That takes you to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and it has all of our episodes and a gigantic list of kaiju movies that are kind of exist that we can possibly tackle in the future. And that list is probably going to expand as we find weirder and weirder stuff. So until next time, I'm gonna go walk into the sea until this gash gets healed in my chest. I don't
know. Right.
Yeah. All right. I should probably go water my plant as well. my mom needs watering. All right.